and came to Horeb, the mountain of Gad. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God.
Just see your faces. It's halfway through summer. You realize that? I don't know. I know it varies. Summer varies for people. You know, it's like some of you are probably just bored out of your minds. Like I just need some sort of stimulation. You know, others are like, no, hold on to the summer. Hold on to the summer. School's coming back, right? But and some of you I know, throughout the summer, people are in and out of vacation. You know, people are coming and going, coming back from being refreshed. You know, and I hope your time of vacation, you know, if you're going someplace this summer, I hope it's a time where just, you know, you're able to refresh in the Lord. Sarah and I just had our 10th anniversary, celebrate our 10th anniversary. So we went up to Traverse City and last weekend, and just had a great, refreshing time, just physically refreshing. It's really good. So so the summer, though, we're going to be, I was bringing us through this book that I'd mentioned a few weeks ago, so a long time ago, before the retreat, called Experiencing God. And again, what I wanted to emphasize to you guys is this is not the Bible. You know, again, I felt like there's always value in authors who write about the Bible. But with everything, I want us just to always have a kind of a critical mind when we read through these books to say, hey, does this match what's in here? But I found that this is like just it was helpful for me in thinking about my relationship with the Lord. You know, before I get into our time in the Word this morning. I feel a need to just go into prayer together. So let's pray. Father, you are a living God. You are Yahweh. As we sung about you, you are a beautiful God. Coming after us, loving us, pursuing us. Your character, who you are, is beautiful, Lord. And Father, we want to be renewed in you. We want to be refreshed in you. We want to meet you brand new. Lord, this summer, help us to meet with you again anew. As we looked at Revelations this past year, you reminded the church of Ephesus, you know, you do a lot of great things, but you've forgotten your first love. Your first love. Your first love is me. You know, so Lord, we want to be reminded of our first love, to be in love with you, to love you, to know you, to walk with you, to be close with you, to be intimate with you. As individuals and as a community, as a church. So Lord, as we look at the scriptures this morning, pray that you'd speak to us, remind us of the kind of God that you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I asked, how can we know God's will for our life? Okay, kind of the subtitle of this book is knowing and doing the will of God, and it's really asking, you know, what does God desire from us? How can we know? how can we know what God is wanting for us, what His will is for us? Because I feel like at any given time in our lives, people are asking this question. This is the question that I'm, one of the questions I'm asked the most is, you know, how do I know, Brady? Like, how do I know what God's asking of me, what He's doing, what He's, you know, particularly it seems to come up, at least in this time, it comes up with, like, college, you know, when you're deciding on a college, you're like, God, what college do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? What do you want to make? What am I about? You know, what am I to be about? What's my purpose? But I'm telling you, all throughout life, this is going to be all throughout life, is like, God, what's your will for me? You know? And it's interesting. A few of us went to the village shopping center yesterday to just get into spiritual conversations with people, just to, you know, I'm like, our group that's going on a mission trip, I'm like, I challenge them. I just want to, like, let's get out and just, you know, as if we're being missional, let's go out and just talk with people about God, about spiritual things. And one of the questions we asked them yesterday was, you know, what do you feel your purpose in life is? What's your purpose in life? I don't know. I don't know. How would you answer that in your own mind? What would you say? What would you say? What is my purpose in life? So we asked them, and several people, you know, almost everyone, at least for me, I went out with Nick, and the two of us went out, and almost everyone was willing to talk with us. There was only one guy that just was not interested in talking with us. But when we asked people, what do you feel is your purpose in life? One person said, is adventure. How they answered is venture. Adventure is my purpose in life. I didn't talk with this person directly, so I don't know what that means, if it means, like, bungee jumping, you know, cliff diving. I don't know what adventure means, you know, traveling. I don't know. One person said, purpose in life is to make people happy. You know, she's like, I love hanging out with people. And, you know, I'm like, so are you fulfilling that purpose? He's like, yeah, I think so. I'm making people happy. And another one said, to inspire and to make it better. So I don't know if that's to inspire and make my life better or make the world better. One woman said, my purpose in life is to be a good mom. That's what she said her purpose was. And then another person said this, to send a message to people that will change them. That's pretty cool purpose. As I kind of looked at their, you know, the responses, it looked like they were a believer. And so Nick and I went up to this older couple, and we asked them that question. We're like, hey, what do you feel like your purpose in life is? And they said, you know what, we were recently talking to some friends about this. And they were kind of like, we're not really sure. You know, I mean, they came up with the answer right there. The husband said, you know, this couple is probably they were retired. They said, we're retired. They're in their 60s. And so they were kind of asking that question. But the guy's like, I think it's to be an educator. He's like, we're both teachers. So the purpose, the why I live is to be an educator. And she said, the wife said, it was like, to be happy. That's my purpose in life, is to be happy. She says, I know that's selfish. I know that's selfish, but maybe if everyone did that, the world would be at a better place, you know? So I think our purpose and God's will for our lives are, I know that's two different questions, like what's my purpose and what's God's will, but I feel like they're somewhat related, you know? I think they're related, aren't they? Like, what's God's will? What is He asking of me? And what's my purpose? What's my purpose in life? And so, again, at many points in our lives, I think that we're going to be asking this question. God, what do you desire from me? What are you doing right now? And right before we went into the retreat, when we think about this question, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will? We started in John chapter 5, and John chapter 5 says this. It says, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. So Jesus says, hey, if we're thinking about what is God's will, one of the things we start out with is that, hey, we understand that God is working. He's always working. It's not that, again, that He's at sleep or that He's stopped working. So when we're thinking about, hey, God, what's your will for my life? We can always say that He's doing something right now. He's actively working around the world right now. And I challenged you guys, I invited you guys, because a lot of times our question, we start out with asking something like, God, how can you work in my life to help me accomplish my goals? That's usually the question that many of us ask. How can you work in my life so that I can accomplish my goals? And what I said is, I'm challenging, if God is working, he's doing something, he's out there, he's active, the question shouldn't be how can you work around me, in me, so that I can accomplish my goals? The question is, no, God, you're working, so how can I join you in what you're doing? When I am seeking your will, I recognize you're working, so how can I be a part of what you're doing? Show me what you're doing in other people's lives or even in my own life, and let me join in with that, okay? So it's a different, it's a slight change, a slight maybe paradigm shift in how you think about asking what God's will is for your life. We watched, for those of you who are at youth group last night, right? We watched 1040, this movie that it's called, it's 1040, Christianity in the New Asia, right, with Jason Ma. And again, you guys, most of you guys were here, but for those of you who weren't, it kind of went around to the different parts of Asia, to Korea, started out with China, and showed what God is, some of the things, small snippets of what God's doing in China. Went to Korea, talked about, man, God has a hold on Korea. I mean, just huge. 100 years ago, he's like, there was just a handful of Christians. And now, a huge portion of the country is the followers of Jesus Christ. Went to Hong Kong, went to Singapore, and showed all the different ways that God is working in Asia. And what Jason, throughout the movie, what Jason seemed to be doing is he just seemed to be noticing. All he was doing is he was just going to these different places, and he was just noticing what God was doing. You know, so you could go when you go off to college, or even now where you're at, you look around and you just notice what God is doing, where he's working. That's all that basically Jason was doing. He's like, hey, I'm going to these places and I just want to see what God is doing. And what this does, when you shift this question from, hey, God, can you work in such a way so that I can do this kind of my goal, when you shift to hey, God, show me where you're working so that I can be a part of what you're doing, it expands our idea of God's will. It expands our idea of God's will and our purpose in life. So, for example, again, for those of you who didn't see the movie last night, there was an example of one businesswoman in, do you guys remember where it was? Singapore. And she was a businesswoman. She was making, making lots of money. She was raking in money. But Jason's but the thing is with her is that she was taking in money for a purpose of pouring into God's kingdom. So it shifted her mind. So she was not a businesswoman for the purpose of, help me, God, to increase my business for me, for my family. But it was help me, God, increase my business so that I can pour into you, to what you're doing in Asia. Real radical shift. And it's so cool to watch some of these believers in Asia who took a total radical different way of viewing God's will, of looking around and seeing. We saw some hip-hop artists, some rappers, people who were, had this hip-hop artist was designing some clothes, had a clothesline, and all the message was coming out in the clothesline. People were like, well, this guy's amazing, this guy's music is amazing, but he's like, this is not just for me, I'm using this to join in what God's doing in Asia. Jason's like, man, God is just so working in the countries, in the area of Asia. And so what it does for us when we move from in this kind of shift is it moves us from help me to get into Stanford, God, or help me to get into the University of Chicago, help me to get into U of M or whatever it is, to God, you've purposed me to be an engineer, you've purposed me to be a business person, you've purposed me to be a teacher, you've purposed me to be a dentist, an administrator, whatever God has purposed you to do, so that I can join in what you're doing. I can join in your work. And man, that is the most exciting thing. It is the most exciting thing when you are seeing God using you and you like what how God made you. I know it takes time. It took me, you know, maybe first 25 years of my life to go, what did you purpose me for? What you purpose me for? So I know there's a process of going like, what are you purposing me for? But man, once you're in that and you know God purposed me for this, then it's like, oh, I love watching you work. I love being a part of what you're doing, right? It's so exciting, you guys. It's amazing. All right? So it moves us to kind of a different thought process of way of viewing God's will. So it starts with God's purposing and Him doing work around us. And also knowing His will includes, in addition to seeing Him work, Him pursuing a relationship with us. God pursuing a relationship with us. I know it sounds simple, like God, in this book, it says, you know, look, the first kind of thing that we need to recognize is God's always at work around us. He's always doing stuff around us. Second thing is that God pursues a relationship with us. If you want to know His will, you have to be in a relationship with Him. Let's look, turn with me to Exodus. Kevin read this, Exodus 3. Exodus, we'll start in chapter 2, but the end of 2 and the first part of 3. We'll start out in Exodus 2, 23 to 25, says this. That during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. All right? So we see this. We join in this story of Moses. This is about Moses. You know, it's leading up to Moses. And even before Moses knows what God has for him, what His will is for him, God is already doing something. He is already at work. He's already purposed and said, look, what I'm going to do, I've heard my people's groaning, and so I'm going to free these people. I'm going to set them free. He's already, so think about it. When you're going into your colleges, when you're going into this fall at your high school, when you're going into work, God somewhere is probably working in someone. I mean, there's definitely places in the Bible where Jesus says, God's not working here. There's definitely places when Jesus goes into the town, He doesn't perform miracles because the people's hearts are closed. There's definitely times when Paul has been guided away from a place and moves to another place because God says, I am working here, okay? So it's not that God's working every place all the time, but God is at work, and God was at work here. And before Moses even knows what he is supposed to do, God's like, I am beginning to start this. I'm beginning to work this. All right? And because he remembered his covenant with Abraham, he said that he would inherit this new land and that his descendants, that Abraham's descendants would be numerous as stars in the sky and the nations would be blessed through him. And so he purposed, like, I'm starting to work. Get ready, Moses. Moses doesn't know about this yet. All right, so he's at work, and so then he begins to pursue a relationship with Moses. Look at this. Look in verse chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Moses doesn't know God's working already. Now Moses was just out there tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, hey, I'll go over there and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So now we know that Moses already had some knowledge about God. We already know that he had a reverence for God, a respect for God, maybe, because he knew about his relative way back here, Abraham. He kind of knew that there was a God. Many of you are like this. You know that there's God. Your family comes from God, so you know about this, right? And in fact, if you guys will hold your finger in Exodus, and we'll kind of do a little bit flipping around today. Flip to the back of your Bible to Hebrews. It talks about Moses again. So if you go to Hebrews and it goes, it's Hebrews towards the end. Better if you start from Revelations and back. But if you go to Hebrews, it talks about Moses. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 23, says this: "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoy pleasure for a short time." All right? So it talks about Moses' life as a kid, or as it says, when he grew up. What happened was Moses was raised in the Pharaoh's house, right? So not a lot, his people were around him, but he was raised in the Pharaoh's house. And it said that Moses, for some reason, there was something in Moses that said, no, you know what? Even though there's this offer to live a great life in Pharaoh's house, I could live like a king, like a Pharaoh. I could live a really nice life. But there was something, maybe it was God, that he knew that his relative Abraham followed, that said, no, I, as much as it's tempting to go live this life with Pharaoh and have a great life, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to suffer kind of with my people. So there's this thing where Moses kind of understands God or knows God. But here in Exodus, if you flip back to Exodus 3, there seems to be something different that's happening here. In Hebrews, when he's growing up, in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about him growing up, he's like, no, I'm not going to follow this because I'm one of God's people. I'm one of God's people, so I'm not going to take the privileged life of living with a Pharaoh. But look, in Exodus 3, something different is happening to Moses. There is a new experiencing of God here in Exodus 3. Where Yahweh, the Lord, is no longer just the God of Abraham or the God of Israelites to Moses, but becomes very personal with Moses, becomes extremely personal with him. It's not like, hey, this God, I go and worship him. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the God of my people, Yahweh. But now God is extremely personal to him. And I want to ask you guys, have you experienced this personalization of God? He's calling right now. To Zazia. Have you experienced this personalization where it moves from the God of OCC, the God of my parents, to no, this is God's voice that's talking to me. This is my God. I'm experiencing God for the first time. This is, whoa, this is God, right? Have you experienced that? Where the living God, for us, sometimes we read this, where the living God comes off the pages for us. It comes off the pages and comes into our life where we experience him. There's almost like, sometimes the temptation sometimes for our church is that we read the Bible. And this is good. We're supposed to read the Bible. That's not a temptation. It's good for us to read the Bible. But sometimes our knowledge of him is just on the page. There's something that seems to be a mystic portion of God where he shows himself. The true God is here, but he shows himself to us that is outside of the pages. that is in our lives, where we can recognize him, like Moses was like, man, there's something with this bush. There's something with this bush that I need to just go investigate. There's something different. But then he heard God's voice. He heard his voice, you know. For the first time, it became a personal God to Moses. And you see how God, he came after Moses. It was God who was the initiator. God pursued Moses. God, look in verse 4, it says, God, he called him from within the bush. Moses, have you ever heard God call your name, or where you experience him, not just on the pages, but you experience him? I know for many of you, it might be tempting to think, well, hey, if I saw God, if I saw my lilac bush in front of my house burning, that would be something different, okay? Then I'd be like, okay, well, God is real, you know? Then I'd be like, okay, well, now I know God is real. I know God's meeting me personally. But here's the deal, is that God meets with people in various ways. I'm so glad that not every time God comes to us in a burning bush. I'm so glad, because God personalizes to you. See, for me, God met me in a whisper. God met me in a whisper. It wasn't a burning bush experience. It wasn't like, you know, Mike Ye, remember from the retreat, he was like, you know, I met God. He's like, I met God in a missions trip. I went there, and I hated every second of it. You know, my mom made me go to this missions trip. Like, I just want to. He met a pastor, right? And the pastor was like sharing and like prayed for him. And do you remember like Mike's experience? He's like, I saw this on TV before, but I don't believe. But he's like, I fell over when the pastor prayed. I fell over and I couldn't move. He said, remember that? I'm like, what? Are you serious? Like, I've never seen that before. But that was like how he experienced God, right? And for me, it wasn't like I fell over. I often tell people that I became a Christian my junior year in college, you know, because that was the time when I, one night I just, I'm like, okay, God, you know, I prayed, I'm like, God, I give up, I need you, I want you, you know. But as I look back now, God was pursuing me long before. As I look back in my life, God was pursuing me long before. In high school, even when I wasn't even recognizing God was pursuing me, in high school, I worked at a department store. It's called Praying East. And I think I may have shared the story once with you guys, but there was a girl named Danita who, she was the one that, she dressed mannequins and stuff like that. She worked there. And one time we were working in a back room together. A bunch of us were unpacking some different things, some ornaments and stuff like that. And we got into a conversation, and Danita, she's like, hey, Brady, and I noticed there's something different about Danita, but she said, Brady, why don't you come with me to a pro-life rally? And I'm like, well, what's a pro-life rally? What the heck is that, you know? And I kind of knew what pro-life and pro-choice was. I remember in our American government class, the teacher was talking about the difference between what conservative and liberal is. He actually went there with us, you know, and he's like, he asks us, you know, raise your hand on gun control. What, you want gun control? You know, want gun control. And we'd each vote, you know, and one of the questions is like, raise your hand if you're pro-choice or you're pro-life. I'm like, oh, pro-choice, man, totally pro-choice. You know, like, I was like, she should be able to choose, you know, blah, blah. And so, like, I've come into this, and this is in high school, and Denise's like, hey, why don't you come with us, my family, to a pro-life rally? And I'm pro-choice. I have no idea why I said yes. It wasn't like I, you know, this was long before I met Sarah. I wasn't like, hey, she's pretty hot. I'll go to the pro-life rally with her. You know, she's cute. Yeah. It wasn't like that. I wasn't going after her. I wasn't pursuing. She was like, why don't you just come? I'm like, oh, all right. But so I got in, and again, I ended up they had a thing on Friday night, and they did some praying and stuff, and this is a little bit weird and stuff. But then Saturday morning, we went to a place and just stood outside and, you know, had signs and stuff like that. But the more I got to know Danita, she eventually invited me to a Bible study, which is my first kind of introduction. But I wasn't there for long. I went off to school. But even then, I'm like, God, I didn't recognize, but God was like pulling me. He was showing me someone who knew the Lord. I go off to college, and I hang up. And, you know, you go, you're excited, like you get stuff for your dorm, whatever. And I had these posters. It was a poster of a Budweiser girls. And I put these Budweiser girls up on my wall, you know. And I'm halfway through my freshman year, and I've got these Budweiser girls on my wall, and I'm like, you know what? This is really not me. I don't drink Budweiser. You know, it's just this in this picture of these Budweiser girls, it's not who I am. And so you know what I feel like? I feel like God already. I would say I was a churchgoer, but I didn't know God. I didn't have this. I feel like God was already like going, Brady, come in. I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And so I went and I took down these posters. I'm like, hey, Neil, you got these posters? You know, I gave it to my friend instead. And I feel like God was already, like, beginning to pursue me. And so it is for you. You know, last night when we looked at this movie, it's like God moved the Israelites into the new land, okay, into the new land where they were to live and multiply. And eventually David became king, and it was through David's line that Jesus Christ came about. Jesus Christ came about, and he walked the earth. God incarnate walked the earth. He taught. He did miracles. He was crucified and raised on the third day, and met Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul was seized, became a Christian, went into Turkey, went into Greece, went into Europe. Went into Rome, shared the gospel at Rome. And in Rome, eventually, one of the emperors of Rome was a Christian, and Christianity spread through persecution, went through all Europe. Eventually, Christians in Europe went over to the United States, went to the United States and shared the gospel in the United States. Meanwhile, back in Rome, there were some people from Europe that went over to China on the Silk Road. Remember from this movie yesterday? On the Silk Road, and they began to share the gospel in China. Your parents were born, your grandparents, great-grandparents were born, and they moved into China, Taiwan, and the gospel was there in China, but your parents didn't know. They moved to the United States, where the gospel had been shared already, and God pursued them in the United States. And then through that, God pursued them, and God pursued you, right? God has been pursuing you, personally, in your walk. And so for me, maybe for you, God's been pursuing you for a long time. And maybe some of you have like, yeah, I've had this. I've heard, I've had something like this. God met me. He's real to me. I have this personal, I know I'm beginning to understand God's will because but for some of you, you're still kind of like maybe back where Moses was, where he knows of God, he follows God, but he hasn't had this kind of personalization meeting him yet. But you see, God pursued me. And isn't it great that you know that there is this God that we serve is a God that should feel to have comes after you, that doesn't wait for you, that doesn't stand back in heaven and say, okay, if any of you happen to get it, maybe you can come to me. But no, this is a God that goes, no, I'm not a God that waits for you. I'm a God that comes after you. I'm a God that loves you and that pursues you. Will meet you either in a burning bush or in a whisper or on a mission trip or in college or however. We're having a poetry slam in a couple of weeks. I don't know, hopefully there's some poets that are drawn out from this group. You know, there's some inspiration that's going on, you know, that like you can be like, yes, poetry, let me drink of this so I can pour out my affections in poetry, right? Anyone here like call themselves like no, that's a little high calling. I don't wanna like, yeah, I'm a poet. Let's put it this way. Is anyone here that writes poetry? You know, don't be ashamed, like just like, yeah, I write poetry. Yeah. Jason. Ryan. Yeah. it's nothing to be ashamed of, just because you're a poet, that's great. That's awesome to be a poet, right? I know songwriting is not it's kind of poetry, but it's not poetry. There's a group called Third Day, and they wrote this song called King of Glory. And it's just, I love the lyrics, but it talks about this God who pursues us, you know, pursues us. Who is this King of Glory that pursues me with his love and haunts me with each hearing of his softly spoken words? My conscience, a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of Glory who offers it to me? Who is this King of Angels, O blessed Prince of Peace, revealing things of heaven and all its mysteries? My spirit's ever longing which to stand. Who's this King of Glory, Son of God and Son of Man? His name is Jesus, precious Jesus. You know, I mean, like, it's kind of like those lyrics, this author's just thinking of how this King, the God of the universe, is like pursuing him, is coming after him. And it's just amazed by this God, this King of Glory. So this relationship that we have, in order to know his will, God's working, and we have to know that he's pursuing a relationship with us. We're in a relationship with him. And so I know that so far we've talked about just him pursuing us, but what about the other side? Relationship, right, is two ways. So in order for us to know him, in order to know his will, to like go, okay, I know what you're asking of me, it's not that he just pursues us, but we also have to respond to him, know him. Flip over to John, book of John, chapter 10. It's a really great passage to just, I mean, you could probably just meditate on these first 21 verses for quite some time in your quiet times, in your time with the Lord. Chapter 10, verse 3 says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They recognize his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. All right, so God pursues us, but in knowing his will and following him, we have to know his voice, like recognize it. You know, like your sheep, apparently, you know, there's certain calls that shepherds have, and the shepherd will call, and all the sheep will come running. And then, like, you'll have another guy who's like, okay, make that same call. Try to make that exact same call that I called these sheep. And the guy will make that same call, or at least try to mock or try to repeat that call. And the sheep won't respond. I've seen it on video before. It actually worked. I mean, like, there's actually sheep respond to, like, a shepherd's call. And so it's the same with us. Like, it's for us, it's like learning. And I'm still learning this process of, like, knowing his voice, recognizing his voice. But the Bible says, you know, his sheep will recognize it. They'll be able to go, yep, that's him. That's what he's saying. He's telling me this. I know this is what he's saying to me, right? It'll be like a voice that you hear. Verse 14, I said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep, they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. God, Jesus says, look, there are others out there who don't are outside of the pen that I still need to bring in. They too listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. All right? So knowing his will, if we're going to understand his will, it's like, being pursued by him, allowing him to pursue us, and like going, hey, I'm listening to your voice. And we'll talk about this as we kind of move through this. We'll talk later about how to recognize his voice. Again, I'm never going to put God in a box. Just talk through a burning bush. Just talk through a donkey. Just talk through a whisper. Can't put him in a box. You just can't. But we need to learn to recognize his voice. So my challenge is to you, okay? Think about this, is that, you know, throughout the school year, I ask you guys, and you're like, man, I would meet with God, except I've got so much homework to do. I got so much stuff I got to do. I got going on right now. I got a lot to going on, you know. And now this is summer. This is summertime, you know. And I know some of you are like, I still have reading to do. I got the summer reading I got to prepare. But most of the time in the summer, this is a great opportunity to listen for his voice. You know, this is a great time to just like, okay, I'm gonna start with chapter 10 of John, and I'm just gonna read through chapter 10, and just find out about this shepherd and what he's about. You know, I'm gonna find out about this shepherd and what he's about, and listen to his voice. And you know, I tell people, look, you can meet with God in so many ways. There's so many ways to meet with God. I mean, when Sarah and I are up in, when we're up in Traverse City, and you know, we went for a walk on the beach. Sarah loves the beach. I love the woods. I love walking in the woods, and you know, just seeing God's creation, and that speaks to me. There was a bunch of flies that just attacked us in the woods, but I mean, other than the flies, you know, it was just amazing. I'm more aware of God's presence in nature. Here, you know, I don't know how it is for you. Some people sit all day and just listen to, you know, sermons online. They're like, man, when I hear God's word, I love going to looking at different pastors and like hearing their sermons online. That just feeds me. Some people, it's music. You know, I can listen all day to some worship music. God speaks to me through that worship music. So many different ways we can like just meet with God and listen to him. The important thing is, though, is that like you can say, well, I meet with God in art or music or so forth, but it's, he wants worshipers that will come worship him in spirit and truth. So the thing is though, you can meet with God in music, you can meet with God in art, you can meet with God in nature, but you do need to know the word, because otherwise you'll be able to know the truth, you know, because you can meet God in nature and go, and you can still be brought out or kind of moved away from God. But if you know the truth, you can meet with God in spirit and in truth wherever you're at, you know, however God meets with you. So the word's extremely important. So I want to invite you guys to consider, you know, look, this is your time. This is a sweet time that you have this summer, you know, where you just have just maybe some extra time. And I hear some of you like doing it. I'm like, you know, I've started to read this book, or I'm asking questions about this book. I'm just asking God about this, you know. It's great, you know. But take advantage of this time. Meet with him. Go for a walk this afternoon. It's hot. Okay, it's boiling hot. Go for a swim. I don't know. But meet with him, okay? Learn to recognize his voice. You learn to recognize his voice. You can know. You can go, I hear him speaking. I know what he wants from me. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are personal, that it's not a formula. It's not that you meet with us. It's not that you meet with us in a bush every time. How boring. I mean, maybe the first time exciting, but how boring if every one of us, you met with us that way. But you meet with us in such unique and different ways, ways that we recognize you, but we know that it's you speaking to us. And sometimes it's a sermon. It's like God, did you write that for me? Did you tell the pastor? Did the pastor looking in my journal Is that what it was? Sometimes it's in music. Where it's a song just hits you. It's a song that you needed to hear. Sometimes it's on the radio. Sometimes it's online. Sometimes it's, Lord, I just love you because you're just so personal. You're so personal. And you meet us where we're at. You're not a God that waits for us, but you meet us where we're at. And I love you for it. We love you for it. We don't have to, like, we don't have to change our ways in order to meet with you. You come and meet us right where we're at. So wherever we're at this morning, you're waiting and you're pursuing and you're coming after us. Help us, Father, to know as you're our shepherd and we're your sheep. Help us to, like, teach us, Lord. Teach us how to know your voice. Because sometimes it's in a whisper. Mm-hmm. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.